Right, it's the Mountain Bike Podcast presented by GMBN, number 17. I'm back in the shed, Neil Donoghue, with... What's your name?
Jones, Stephen Jones.
Oh, like James Bond. The e-bike James Bond. We're going to talk about what we've been up to. We've all been all over the world. Yeah. Some of us still are. And the end of Crankworx and, yeah, some e-bike racing, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, Crankworx just finished. A couple of big events. Obviously, the Slopestar, arguably the biggest event there. I need to catch up on that. I've not watched the event just yet, but Emil Johansson, the young Swede, took the win from Brett Reeder and David Godziak in third. A couple of big names missing there. Well, Rogatkin didn't have the best run, apparently. And then the big sort of roundup of the whole event is King and Queen of Crankworx. So they win points for events all through the week and win loads of money, actually, the winners of that. So Mitch Roplaiter took the win. He won, what did he win? Speed and Style, Pump Track and Garbanzo. So a pretty big range of events there, Steve.
But when you say King of Crankworx, obviously he's going to win all the other events in the world. There's obviously Crankworx in New Zealand, Rotorua, and also Crankworx in Innsbruck as well, right?
Yeah.
To get that title.
So that's it. Points come from all those rounds. And it's for the winners, actually, it's great to see at Crankworx. It's equal pay, equal prize money for men and women. So Mitch took $20,000, as did Via Vibic, who took the women's win.
Can I ask you, you said there the biggest event. So is Crank, I mean... Is that event not just the biggest event in Crankworx? Is that the biggest mountain bike event in the world? What's the biggest mountain bike event in the world, Dan?
I don't know. As far as free ride goes, it's either that or Rampage, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But actually, there's a lot of people in Whistler there to watch it, and they do show it live on Red Bull TV, I believe.
Yeah.
How many people
were down there at the finish line for that final?
Well, I was home by then, but normally it's full. I think, is it? 20,000, or does that sound too much?
Well, this comes back to the question. If you say 20,000, then apparently there's 20,000 people at Leger World Cup Downhill this year.
Yeah, true.
So
yeah, it's big.
So what is the biggest mountain bike event in the world? Tom, any comments on that?
I'm going with Rampage.
Right.
Because I think it's the most watched mountain bike event.
Oh, right.
I think it's the most watched Red Bull event. Mm-hmm. It was a few years ago.
If talk about the social that goes out after as well, I'm sure that's got to be the biggest. You see those POV runs that go out on Facebook after Rampage, they get tons of views.
And NBC, I think, run it, don't they, on there?
Mm-hmm.
It's always one big American channel.
Sort of, you know, hide behind the sofa to watch Rampage. It's interesting, but awful. You can imagine those guys. You know, you see the last few guys waiting for their last runs at the top of the hill by themselves. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you see, so, okay, so it's one of those then. But also, you took Martin Ashton to Whistler with you.
Yeah.
Martin Ashton going down A-line.
Yeah, so that was...
I'd love to have seen that.
You can do, it's on YouTube.
No, but this year it sounded a bit hairy
to
me.
It was fun. You can tell in the video, actually, how much Blake is panicking, because Blake obviously knows A-line really well, so he knows which jumps which and knows what lines you got to ride. And I did ride a couple of practice runs with those guys, and it was pretty terrifying. The one jump, actually, they almost crashed on is the biggest jump on A-line. And and if you take off a bit wrong on that bike, then it's game over. Well, not game over. They rode it out, but, you know, it just gets worse. You can see them bounce when they landed as well. And
it's horrible.
I can't imagine. It's such a big jump. Honestly, that's one of the biggest jumps I've done in a long time. And
really?
They went big. Didn't quite, you know, clear it. I mean, they're never going to clear it on a tandem, but...
Yeah. Know, I mean, you've got to take your hat off, right, Tom, to do... I mean, that's mental. Mental.
It is, yeah.
So going back to prize money then...
Well, yeah.
Is that all they won for King Crankworx is 20 grand?
20 grand?
Don, I just come back from the Tour de Mont Blanc, 16 teams, 350K, three countries, 16,000 metres of climbing, 18,000 metres of descending, and a $30,000 prize.
I can't believe that. So tell me about this.
You need to believe it, Don. You need to get in. You need to get involved.
What is it? A two-man e-bike race.
So basically, Tour de Mont Blanc is a team event, so two people. There's lots of pro teams there. Christophe Sauerzer was riding, obviously, former Olympic gold medalist. Marco Fontana, also Olympic gold medalist. Olympic medalist, in cross country.
I see Fontana's been riding e-bikes a lot. There was the first ever World Cup, was a couple of weeks ago, over in Lenzerheide, that Fontana won. Yes.
Right. He won what? We took on e-bikes or?
Yeah, e-bikes. There was a race at Lanzarote.
We missed that. Hold on. That was a Val d'Isol.
Oh, was it Val d'Isol?
Sorry. I was thinking, yeah.
Right, could be Val d'Isol. Because Julian Absalom was winning it and snapped a chain or punctured and Fontana took the win.
Yeah, I know. So, but to get, you know, to get Sauza involved in that and those guys, you know, we're talking a big altitude gain there per day.
But what's the deal? You see a lot of cross-country racers doing well at these. So is it, it's a fitness-based style of racing?
100%. I mean, when I say 5,000 to 6,000 metres of climbing, that's not climbing fire roads, that's climbing like single track.
And timed?
Oh, it's timed. You timed from like, we left at 6 o'clock in the morning and I didn't get back till 6 o'clock at night. But those guys are getting, you know, back at like 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, they're like so far ahead of me. Like, it blows my mind that they're riding so fast at such an intensity all day. And like, you know, I've ridden downhill against quite a lot of riders. I've followed you, I followed Sam Hill, Steve Peat, Nico Villiers. But then I tucked in behind Fontana and Sauza on one of the descents, only 1 hour descents. Honestly, it was one of the scariest things I've ever done. You know, riding terrain, riding single track, which you've never seen before. There was rocks coming towards my face and I'm thinking, this is pretty sketchy.
And those guys know how to ride, definitely. Were you riding exposed trails out around that? I know that part of the world, but I've snowboarded around Chamonix and it is as dangerous as it gets.
It is exposed. I mean, some parts of the route were Via Ferrata. I mean, not as extreme as you can get, but still, when you're carrying a 20-kilo bike with cliffs underneath you, a little bit dangerous.
And are you swapping batteries out? How does that work?
Yeah, so the format of it is you've got 2,000 watt-hours. That's basically either four batteries, either four 500 watt-hour batteries or three 700 watt-hour batteries. You set off in the morning with one in your bike and one in your backpack. So already you've got this weight to carry around with you during the race. You've got to take first aid and a load of other safety stuff because you're pretty much going out into the mountains. You're like 10,000 feet some days. And you get to a lunch stop. So the funny thing was that all the teams that took part were expecting there to be a lunch stop with like ham and cheese, coffee and all this stuff. And then there was a South African guy in charge of the logistics called Martin. And so we were asking him these questions. He goes, guys, this is not a picnic. So
what?
Yeah. So we got, you know, we'd be riding for like 4 hours. And then we'd have the clock. You get scanned when you come into lunch stop and you've got 30 minutes. And in that 30 minutes, you've got to change your battery. You could do all your mechanicals and literally just eat as much as you can and then just get back on the mountain.
That sounds terrible.
It was very, very, it's probably the hardest thing I've ever done physically. I've never been on a mountain bike for that long.
Yeah.
And I've never got up and started a race in the dark. It was like, so we left Chamonix in the dark because if you think about it, I mean, Mont Blanc is a hotspot of tourism worldwide. So you can't have, you know, you can't have too many people on the trails that time of day. So we left at like 5 o'clock in the morning to get to the top of the mountain.
Why?
It's beautiful. Chamonix is actually really quite an amazing place that time of day.
Yeah, I bet, yeah. It's a bit different to the world I've been living in Whistler.
So what have you been up to in Whistler then?
Doing loads of videos. We've been, I raced Garbanzo on an enduro bike, which was the first time I've ridden that in 11 years.
What bike did you ride
in? My Strive.
Okay, right.
Strive.
Yeah.
I raced it back in the day when I was a pro downhill racer.
So Garbanzo is the 12-minute race. Is that right?
Well, slightly longer. I think Sam Hill's done it in just under 13 minutes.
13? So Garbanzo's the one from the top, right?
No, it's not. Well, it's from the top of the Garbanzo lift. You can go high. You can go to the top of the world.
Sorry, yes, from the top of the Garbanzo.
And obviously, actually, they do Enduro World Series stages longer. They do on from the top of the world.
Yeah. So who won Garbanzo this year?
Mitch Ropalato.
What bike was he on then?
Was he riding Intense? Let me look. No, he rides Santa Cruz, B10.
Right. So most people are riding downhill bikes, or were they riding long travel?
Yeah, 95% riding downhill bikes. There were a couple. Annika Beertum's riding that new Specialized Enduro.
Mm-hmm.
It's just come out. I think that's 170 mil, so pretty big hitting bike.
Yeah.
A couple of guys on Enduro bikes. It was all right. You know, I'm not fit enough to ride any bike.
Oh, here we go. The Don doesn't ride his bike very often, obviously.
Well, I'm not, you know, nowhere near as fit as those top racers. And actually, there were parts where I was glad I was on the enduro bike because I was tired and it was light and I can throw it around and pedal it because it's a couple of pretty long pedals. I think on a downhill bike I would have been more tired. After having ridden a downhill bike for a while at Whistler, you forget when trails get a bit flatter and you're trying to pump the thing how tiring that is. But yeah, I took a new proof descent, a new downhill bike as well, and did plenty of laps.
When were you on a downhill bike last?
Well, that's it. It's been 6 years, I reckon.
6 years? Yeah. The Don has been off a downhill bike.
And it's great. You know, they've changed. Bikes have got better. The bike, this is the biggest bike I've ever ridden.
Yeah.
It was a large frame.
I mean, I will return you to the, when you were riding that, actually, I better not name anything. Like, 6-7 years ago, you were on a bike that was way too small for you, Don.
Well, everyone's bikes were the same size.
Yeah, you're going to have to look at Steve Peets.
So it felt good. And Whistler was obviously a great event. The rest of the guys, Martin and Blake, are literally flying back today after staying to ride more tandem. They shot another random tandem video with someone that will be coming out in the next few weeks.
Right.
And they checked out the Slopestyle and all the other events whilst they were there. But yeah, it's pretty crazy to hear that e-bike race around Mont Blanc, which I've not heard of before, had bigger prize money than something as big as the Crankworx World Tour.
And I think it was quite pivotal because I think there are people that still think that riding e-bikes is lazy. You see them, you chat about it every week, but to see those pros doing it, and I think it hopefully will capture people's imagination what you can actually, how far you can push an e-mountain bike.
Yeah.
But the organisers of Free Ride World Tour, they do the, what is it, the ski?
That extreme skiing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they're a massive, massive production team involved in that. And I think from what I gather, they're going to try and take this event to different parts of the world.
Yeah.
In the same way as maybe, EWS does that. So if they did that, I think you'd probably be, when you see the terrain we ride in, I'm sure there are going to be mountain bikers out there. I could be thinking, I wouldn't mind a bit of that as well, because it's like you're riding natural trails you've never seen before with amazing scenery. And and do you know what? When I was on the hills there for those 3 days, I probably saw no more than 5 mountain bikes up on the mountains. And I think an e-mountain bike is a mountain bike for that type of terrain.
Yeah, things are changing. It's funny, I went to Squamish last month and saw, mainly mountain bikes, but did see a lot of e-bikes. I could see there how it'd be brilliant for getting up into the wilds, and it's all pedalable, everything up there. So, whilst there are a couple of shuttle companies, it's mainly all pedaling up the hill. So there's a lot of people taking advantage of e-bikes there. Whereas Whistler, obviously, it's a different place. It's a proper bike park, the biggest bike park.
Yeah.
And the spread there is more enduro bikes, less downhill bikes than you used to see, but very few e-bikes. Because I'm not even sure you allowed them in the park.
So, do you know what I find strange? Because I've been to Whistler countless times, and I go there, and you'll sit down in the town, in the middle of the town, having a coffee, and you'll hear these guys in their trolley kit, and they'll be there saying to each other, "Wow, dude, it's sick to be downhill." And yeah, and basically they go to Whistler for 2 weeks of the year. That's the only mountain biking they do.
Yeah.
And it's the same happens in skiing. You'll go somewhere and you'll hire some skis and you're skiing for 2 weeks or a week of the year.
Yeah.
So for Whistler to be like that surprises me, because I think there's a huge opportunity there to get punters who've never ridden mountain bikes on mountain bikes on the hill. I mean, maybe Whistler's the wrong place because it's too difficult. So
I don't know. I mean, there's a big spread of abilities, but there is a lot of difficult trails at Whistler. I forgot how fast it was, actually. I have to ride in even A-line, which is a pretty tame trail, really, in the scheme of things. You realise you're bombing. It's 10, 20 foot wide. It's smooth, and there's these huge transitions, and you're hitting jumps going really, really fast. And you forget how intimidating that is, because I've not done it for a long time.
Yeah.
For your average mountain biker, it's like, whoa, this is pretty gnarly.
But if you think about it, Whistler's a famous ski resort, but then so too is Verbier. Equally so. There are so many chairlifts in Verbier. But Verbier really has, they've really grabbed this e-bike thing, and there was an e-bike festival there on the weekend, and you could rent e-bikes out for, you had 15 euros. You can go ride as many e-bikes as you wanted to, because there's 30 brands there, 1,000 bikes.
Why?
And they had waymarked trails of different levels. They had guided tours for different levels. They had enduro races you could get stuck into. And, of course, there was the Tour de Mont Blanc. So a pretty big event, actually, which I think will only get bigger.
I went to Verbier a few years ago, actually, with GMBN. And I was surprised. I mean, it was a really good riding. Not a huge amount, but I was surprised at that the bike scene wasn't massive there. There weren't that many people.
Which the people at Verbier say themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, and they say, like, all of a sudden, in the last 3-4 years, it's actually gone a bit pretty crazy.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
It's funny to see, like, in Whistler, we were up filming on one of the EWS stages, which was out of the bike park. I mean, I say out of the bike park, it's not under the ski lifts. Mm. It's up on Blackcomb, but it is part of the park because it is
cool up there, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's all official trails. They've got names. They are, yeah, have badges. You are allowed to ride them,
yeah,
as opposed to a few years ago when they were illegal. They're now legal. But that you all have to pedal up, and you know, there's Dark Crystal, there's Microclimate, there's a couple of others, I can't remember names. So we rode one of those, and yeah, it's a pretty tough climb. And I was up there filming with Josh Carlson, actually.
Yeah.
And every now and again, you'd hear that, and you think, oh, you lucky so-and-so. People shuttling themselves up to the top of Dark Crystal.
To ride cool trails.
Ride amazing trails, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's not much of it in Whistler. In fact, I'm not even 100% sure you're allowed to do it on e-bikes. But yeah.
It's a funny attitude, isn't it? But then North America and actually English-speaking countries are generally quite way behind when it comes to e-mountain bikes.
Yeah.
But yeah, a very, very different attitude out in Switzerland, France and Italy last week. So
yeah, I think there's the culture of things definitely changes. But also, it's like Whistler is, you know, for me, it's the perfect place to take a downhill bike. So I wouldn't necessarily, you know, really need an e-bike if I went to Whistler. Although you could ride a couple of amazing trails. That's all you could ride.
Yeah.
So it depends where you go and what you want to do.
Going back to something you said earlier, we were having a chat about this, is that Mr. Oplato was King Crankworks and he won X amount of money. And I'm saying, like, Tour Mont Blanc won a certain amount of money. I was coming back to you, what's the most difficult? You said to me, well, Mr. Oplato deserves it more. Look what he did. And I thought, well, actually, he's probably spent a lot of time in an aeroplane.
Yeah. But he's also able to win a downhill race is really tough. Be able to do flip whips and go fast on speed and style. His spread of abilities. Actually, Mitch
is quite diverse.
I always think he's a bit of a person like Jill Kintner, who's a brilliant rider. Both of them two of the best riders in the world, but they've never quite fit. Although Jill did before cross.
Did Jill win the Queen of Crankworx?
No, she didn't actually.
Ill.
Via Veerbeek.
Okay, right.
So Jill was a bit ill. She raced the Enduro World Series and Pump Track and a couple others, I think. But yeah. But like Jill and Mitch are two of the best bike handlers on the planet.
100%.
But they've never quite fit Enduro or downhill or anywhere. But this might be the thing where their skills really shine through.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a big title.
How much time do they spend on a bike then, do you reckon? When you put all those three different events in Rotorua, Innsbruck, and...
Probably an hour.
Exactly. So you're telling me who deserves the prize money more? Come on. I mean, when the likes of Sauser and Fontana and Froling Gallet are on their bikes for 20 hours?
Yeah, come on, who had the most fun?
We did, 100%. Also had the most pain as well, because on the last day, I was almost on my limit, because... Got to the last climb. The last climb was the equivalent of, it was like 1,500 meters, the last climb of the day. And that was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, holy shit. And it was like ridiculously steep. And I had to push a 20 kilo e-bike up some of those stages.
Where it finished in Verbier.
Finished back in Verbier, yeah.
This is a nice pub there called the W. Is it the W Hotel?
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very expensive.
Well, do you know, funny you should say that. It wasn't actually that expensive this year.
Things have changed.
But yeah, it's not the cheapest of places to go to, which is kind of quite ironic, because you can fly and then ride all those e-bikes for not very much. But that comes, again, can we talk about e-bikes and flying? And maybe the same could happen in Whistler as it could happen in Verbier, because you can't transport e-bikes places. It's a great opportunity to fly into these places, hire an e-bike, go and shred bikes, as those guys say, for a couple of weeks and go home.
Shred. Yeah, we actually obviously flew Martin's tandem there.
Yeah.
Wasn't easy. I packed that bike into two boxes. And
well, he split the bike in half.
I took the fork off and swung the swing arm up, took the shock out.
Well, you got that?
Yeah, went in. Obviously, you're not allowed to fly with e-bike batteries, so we rented two from Corsa Cycles in Squamish.
Mm-hmm.
Wicked shop if you're out in that part of the world. They hooked us up. Well, I'd say hope the zombies paid for it.
So you talk about the W being a nice place in Verbier. What are the best places in Whistler?
Whistler's full of like
tourists,
dive bars. I would call them Longhorn. It's a terrible place, but everyone goes there. Are there any nice pubs in Whistler? I'm not sure there are. They all stink a bit like bin juice.
It's funny, isn't it? It's
a mountain bikers.
I don't actually like Whistler very much. I mean, I love riding the trails there. Absolutely love it to bits. But the actual down the bottom, too many crowds for me. And it's like that weird mix of tourists and mountain bikers. And it's just all a bit weird, if you ask me.
Yeah, I actually kind of agree. I actually really like Squamish.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently it's a bit more of an old hick town. It's much cooler vibes, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's coming up is next couple of weeks, we've got World Champs in Mont-Saint-Anne.
Okay.
And actually, I bumped into Bernard Kerr in the coffee shop in Whistler with a broken hand at the moment, so not doing any racing.
Right, okay.
But he is attempting to race and take the stripes at the e-bike World Champs, which is also taking part in Mont-Saint-Anne. So there's going to be a real mix of people riding that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're going to find some of those ex-World Cup cross-countryers and downhillers and all sorts.
Yeah,
I can imagine it's going to be super technical, Mont-Saint-Anne. It's still going to be a fitness-based race, so...
But so when is Mont-Saint-Anne? In 2 weeks' time?
I think it is 2 weeks.
Who's going to win the downhill down?
It's got to be one of the Frenchies, I would think. Mm-hmm. And my money would actually be on Perrion.
Yeah.
Women. We think Tani's going to be back. She was riding in Whistler.
Right. And you said to me that the first time we saw Valley Hall riding against...
We haven't even talked about it yet. Right. So the Canadian Open is one of the last events at Crankworx.
Oh, that's one of the best tracks there.
It is.
Right?
It's rough and gnarly, 3 minutes long. Tracy Hannah took the win, but Valley Hall was only 0.6 back. Mm-hmm. And we saw the return of Miriam Nicole.
Oh, really?
6.3 back.
Wow.
So that's all hotting up for World Champs.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty tasty, isn't it? So Tani and Miriam, isn't it?
I've got to think that Tani's going to take the win at World Champs. And in the men, Brosnan took his fifth win in a row at Canadian Open. Bruce Klein and Kirk McDowell, I'm afraid, in third.
Can we talk about Aaron Gwynn at Mont-Saint-Anne?
Yeah.
Do you reckon this could...
Can't imagine him coming... I mean, he's going to obviously throw down something.
Quick bit of history.
Go on. That was his first ever World Cup and he came 12th. I know that because it was one of my last.
Quick bit of history is, do you remember when Sam Hill went out of action in 2011, was it, when he was riding Specialized? He was basically injured early in the year and he focused everything on Mont-Saint-Anne and he came back and won it.
Yeah.
So.
Who did? Sam Hill?
Sam Hill did,
What's that got to do with Gwynn?
Well, it's a similar scenario. Gwynn's been out of action. You know, he's coming back. Mont-Saint-Anne's this race. Could he win the World Championships? He's never won it. It's the only thing he's never won.
It's the only thing he's never going to win. I don't know. I can't see him coming back and beating those guys. I saw Marcelo Gutierrez actually briefly in the Giant Pits. And we were talking about this, saying about people coming back. And I was like, wow, I can't see anyone. And he agreed. He's like, what those two guys, Perrion and Bruni, are doing now is incredible.
I have to agree. I think it's only one of those two, to be honest there. But then Gwynn has got history on that track. When he came down in the rain a couple of years ago.
Yes, yeah.
Hell of a run.
Well.
Hell of a run, Don.
Something to look forward to. next weekend, actually, we've got an Enduro World Series out in, what's that, America? Is it North Star or is it Snowmass? One of them's World Cup, one of them's...
Snowpass. Snowmass is the downhill.
Okay, so it's North Star. Yeah. It's Lake Tahoe.
And what have you got on the next few weeks, Don, apart from doing some family business?
That's a great question. I don't know what I'm doing, actually. I'm at home for a few weeks. So riding my bike.
Good.
Making videos.
Good stuff.
Right, that's it for the podcast. You can find it on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, on Audio Boom, and another, I've forgotten the name of, also, of course, here on YouTube.